We're going to try one more impossible thing. So I wonder whether anyone can come up to help me with that. Let's do a little reenaction. And let's see whether... Well, let's see how strong the walls of the church are, I suppose. If anyone wants to come up, what we'll do is we'll walk round the church, not seven times for 7 days. We'll just pretend it's the last time. And we'll go all the way round. We haven't got trumpets, but we've got the musical instruments. And we can make a lot of noise, and we can do a loud shout at the end, maybe, and we can see what happens. I think I know what's going to happen. I wonder whether you do. I suspect the church building will be intact at the end. And if it's not, I'm sure the prison contractors in October can deal with it. We're going to walk round. Do you want to grab an instrument? You all assemble here, you can do a big shout once you all get here. Thank you all, thank you. Do put your instruments back in the box. So the church walls are still standing. So what can we learn about that? I mean, I guess it's fairly obvious, isn't it? You can't knock down a building by walking around it and making loud noises. Even if you do it seven times for 7 days and then seven times on the last day, it just doesn't happen like that. So what do we conclude? I think it's pretty straightforward, really. We said it in our shout. God came down and he fought the Battle of Jericho. So Joshua wasn't the one who fought the Battle of Jericho. God fought it. But why did he come down? Why did he fight that? And what on earth has it got to do with you and me today? Well, Jericho was part of an empire. It was a big, powerful, nasty empire. They did whatever they wanted. They took whatever they wanted. They did terrible things, actually. And God was watching them, and he was waiting. And he was waiting to see if they would listen to his warnings and waiting to see if they would change. And he was actually waiting for more than 400 years. 400 years. But now, with the Battle of Jericho, he's come down and he's going to do something about it. He doesn't let it carry on forever. Eventually, he comes down and fights against them. And it's the same with us today in many ways. There are lots of forces in the world, lots of empires in different ways. And there's lots of evil empires and forces that are too difficult for us to defeat, far too difficult. Injustice is everywhere, and it thinks that it's got no one to answer to. But the amazing news is that God is strong enough, and he cares, and he will do something about it. He's being patient. And we might have to wait a long time because God is very, very patient. But he will come and he will fight and he will put everything right. And this is fantastic news. God won't just abandon the world to evil powers. He will sort everything out. And we should be desperate for God to come and fight. There's just one more thing I want to tell you from this story. And that is to look at the reaction to the people in Jericho. So I don't know whether you noticed it was in verse 1. What did the people do? They'd ignored the warnings from God. They'd heard about what happened in Egypt. You probably know that story with the 10 plagues and the crossing of the Red Sea. They'd heard about that. They'd heard that God was on his way. And they decided to shut the gate, shut the wall, and carry on as they were. They were effectively saying, leave us alone, God, and stay away. And it wasn't a good decision. And if you think about it, they had plenty more chances to change their mind as the Israelites walked round for 7 days. They could have surrendered, they should have surrendered, but they didn't. They wanted to keep their evil empire going. But not all the people in Israel did that. You've probably noticed there was a lady called Rahab. And the people in her house, they thought differently. They had heard what happened in Egypt. And they heard that God was on his way. So Rahab decided to help the Israelites, to switch sides, and to join God's people. And that was a good decision. And Rahab and her family were saved, and they actually became part of God's people. And you'd find out later that, amazingly, Rahab is the great-great-grandmother of King David, which makes her the great-great-great, lots more great-great-grandmother of Jesus. So we've heard the fantastic news that God will come again to sort out everything and to fight against evil empires and evil forces. So make sure you're on the right side. Don't be like most of the people in Jericho who shut up the gates. Don't stay loyal to an evil empire that's going to be destroyed. Be like Rahab and switch sides. So let's just try the shout. Does anyone think they can remember the shout, perhaps out for people here up at the front? Oh.
Me.
Can you remember the shout, Asher?
Me.
Isaac, can you remember? Have a little look and then put it away. Yeah? Okay.
Then the Lord said to Joshua. Okay. I see I have delivered my Jericho into my hands, along with its king and its fighting men.
Well done, well done. Does anyone else want to go? Juliet, you want to go?
Then the Lord said, see, I have delivered Jericho and all and its king and all its fighting men into your hands.
You can go back to your seats actually now, if that's okay, if you can make it. And we'll give them a second, and then we'll have our prayers.